Welcome to Hit Bullseye's podcast, Big Bull Ki Paathshala. We help students realize their career dreams. Thank you for tuning in and making your choice to succeed in your career.
Welcome to Hit Bullseye's podcast, where we are trying to keep you ahead of competition by sharing current affairs, tips for various exams, and interviews with eminent speakers. Make sure you follow the podcast and share this episode with your friends who are preparing for any competitive exam. I am Manish, and today's episode, we are going to cover current affairs of the third week of May 2022. So let's take a look at the topics one by one. The first issue we will be discussing is India's first tribal health observatory. For the first time in India, a tribal health observatory is being manufactured and it is being operationalized. So we will see where this tribal health observatory is being made. Next, the World Food Prize 2022 has been given out. So we will see who is the winner of the World Food Prize, which is a very prestigious award at the global level. ISRO, that is Indian Space Research Organization, is planning a mission to Venus by the end of 2024. So we will see what are the implications of such a project and what is it that India stands to gain by sending a mission to Venus. Operation Satark has been making news. So we will see what is Operation Satark, which organization or which particular body is coordinating Operation Satark and what is it all about. Prime Minister Kisan, that is Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samman Nidhi. This scheme has celebrated its third anniversary in this week. So we will see what is PM Kisan and whether it has actually benefited the farmers or not. The Asian Games 2022, which were supposed to be held this year, September, in China, have been postponed to the next year because there is a COVID wave going on in China and some other countries. The World Red Cross Day was celebrated on 8th of May. So we will see what is the Red Cross organization and what is its overall role in the entire, in the global NGO space. Next, Adani Wilmar has become India's largest FMCG company, that is fast moving consumer goods company. So it has left behind Hindustan Unilever Limited and it has emerged as the biggest FMCG company of India. Next, Nepal's Kami Rita Sherpa has climbed Mount Everest for the 26th time and has created a world record. You know, thousands of people, they are not able to climb the Mount Everest even in the first go, you know, ever. But this Sherpa has climbed it for 26 times. Next is Khelo India Youth Games that are about to be held next week in, Haryana. So for that, mascot has been launched. So we will have a look at that. Next, in a saddening news, Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma, who was one of the world's most renowned, exponents of Santoor, has passed away. Then Mr. Yoon Suk Yeol has been sworn in as the president of South Korea. And finally, the Indus Valley site of Rakhi Gadi in the state of Haryana, that has been making news. So we will have a brief look at all these events in the last 1 week. Starting with the first one, India's first tribal health observatory. So as the name itself suggests, what is a tribal health observatory or what is it supposed to be? First of all, it's talking about tribal health. Tribal health means there are so many scheduled tribes in India which are living in forest areas, who do not have regular access to the medical facilities, who are living in so far off areas and maybe in hinterland areas where mainstream health capacities or mainstream health services are not available. So for them, a tribal health observatory has now been formed. So let's see. So it has been set up in Odisha. So Odisha is planning to create India's only observatory, which will house data on the state's indigenous population's health. So it will be like a repository of the data of all the scheduled tribes in the state. And for this, the Scheduled Tribes and Scheduled Castes Development Department has signed an MOU with the Indian Council of Medical Research, ICMR. It will monitor illness burden, health-seeking behavior, and the healthcare delivery system in relation to tribal health in Odisha. in a systematic and continuing manner. So it will be like a data bank of the scheduled tribe and scheduled caste population of the entire state of Odisha. And with that, you know, different types of health interventions at the governmental level will be easier to make. So this is a really good initiative, and if it turns out to be successful, then this model should be very well replicated in other states of India as well. Next, World Food Prize 2022. So World Food Prize is one of the most prestigious awards in the world, and for this, Ms. Cynthia Rosenweg has been chosen. So she is a senior research scientist and head of the Climate Impacts Group at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. So she works with NASA, and she has received the 2022 World Food Prize, and it is given by the World Food Prize Foundation. Why has she been given the award? She was selected for her research to understand the relationship between climate and food systems and forecast how both will change in the future. So basically, she has researched in the field that if we do not change our food habits, if we do not if we do not modify our food habits, then it will lead to climate change. Like, one of the major causes of climate change, according to her research, is the food habits that we have. So her modeling work has provided a foundation for decision makers around the world to create strategies to mitigate climate change and adapt our food systems to a changing planet. It simply means that, for example, if we consume something that takes a lot of water, a lot of resources from the earth for being produced, and we consume it as our food, then it fastens climate change. For example, like the consumption of non-vegetarian food, or the consumption of some vegetarian foods like rice, for example, which consume a lot of water. So if we consume some specific types of food and we consume it in large quantities, that has an adverse impact on the climate in the long run. And this is what her research has shown. And for this significant discovery, she has been awarded with the World Food Prize. So in another news, ISRO has been planning a mission to Venus. So ISRO, or Indian Space Research Organization, is undoubtedly one of the most, active and most dynamic space agencies in the world. And it has successfully conducted a number of space research and space exploration programs. So now it is planning to explore Venus. So by the end of 2024, by December 2024, ISRO is planning to send a mission to Venus. This was announced by the chairperson S. Somnath. So either by December 2024, it's going to send it. And after that, an orbital maneuver is planned. So what is basically an orbital maneuver? It is the use of propulsion system to change the orbit of a spacecraft, and it enables a spacecraft to enter a planet's orbit. So basically, there are two times in the next few years when India, you can say the globe, will be closest to Venus. So in 2025, the Earth and Venus would be aligned in such a manner that it would require a minimum amount of propellant for the spacecraft to enter the orbit of Venus. A similar window will be available in 2031. So Earth and Venus would be aligned in such a way in 2025 and then in 2031 that if we send a mission to Venus, it will take the least amount of propellant and the least amount of fuel to leave Earth's orbit and to enter Venus's orbit. So from that perspective, from that suitability perspective, 2024-25 is the latest window that we have. If we lose that window, the next window will open in 2030-31. So with that aim in mind, ISRO is now planning to send this mission to Venus. Now, why are we trying to send a mission to Venus? Simply because we want to research, we want to explore the atmosphere, the materials, the surfaces, and every single thing on the planet Venus, because that helps in long-term research on space matters. Next, Operation Satark. So Satark means, you can say it is either vigilant or it means cautious. So you should be cautious and you should be vigilant. That is what Operation Satark is. So what is it? It has been launched by the Railway Protection Force. Railway Protection Force, because the railways have been used for a lot of smuggling activities. At the airports, the checks are really stringent. So any type of drug smuggling or any other type of smuggling activity easily gets detected at most of the airports in India, because the screening facilities and every types of checks and balances are really very well laid down in all the airports of India. But when it comes to railway stations, the situation is quite different. There are around 8,000 railway stations in India, and not all the railway stations are properly manned. And so railways are being used for the smuggling of various types of illegal drugs and illegal products. And to keep a check on that, the railways has launched Operation Satark. You know, it went on for the entire month of April, wherein 26 cases of transportation of illegal tobacco products were detected, and seizure of tobacco products worth more than 44 lakh were there, and many persons were arrested. So basically, this was a mission launched by the railways, especially by the Railway Protection Force. And now this, the overall meaning of this mission is that the railways needs to increase the presence of police or the visibility of police in its premises, in railway stations, in trains, etc., so that people also feel safe. Right. So this, as you can see, is the image of RPF on duty to ensure safe journey. So basically, the purpose of Operation Satark is to stop smuggling and to increase police visibility in the railways, so that the illegal elements do not, operate. Next, Pradhan Mantri Kisan or PM Kisan. The scheme was launched 3 years back, and India celebrated the third anniversary of PM Kisan. What is PM Kisan basically? It is Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samman Nidhi. Now the literal interpretation of Kisan Samman Nidhi would be farmers welfare fund, you can say, to make sense. Farmers welfare fund, or Samman would be respect in the literal sense of the term. But here it simply means that 6,000 rupees per year to every farmer is provided. And throughout India, there are approximately 12 crore farmers which are registered. So 12 crore farmers getting 6,000 rupees would be approximately 72,000 crore rupees a year. You know, this scheme was devised after thinking that despite giving so many facilities to the farmers in terms of their inputs like seeds, fertilizers and all, and in terms of their output also, which are mostly purchased on minimum support price. And like, despite all these interventions, it was being felt that farmers were still, committing suicides. There was still distress among the farmers. So to plug any kind of gaps, the government started giving money directly into the bank accounts of the farmers. And that scheme was Pradhan Mantri Kisan. So the scheme was launched in 2019, and till now 11.78 crore farmers have benefited from the same. Right. So till date, approximately 1.82 lakh crore rupees have been directly sent into the accounts of the farmers. So the 6,000 rupees that are given, they are not given in one go. It's like 2,000 rupees every 4 months are being sent into the accounts of the farmers. So approximately 2 lakh crore rupees have been distributed till now. And so this scheme has completed 3 years. That is what the news is all about. So in another worrisome news, Asian Games 2022, which were supposed to be held this year in September, have now been postponed to next year because China is reeling under another wave of COVID-19. And not only China, there are so many other countries which are reeling under another wave of COVID-19. So it has sparked fears among the Indians that whether another wave is impending in our country as well. So the Asian Games were due to be held in Hangzhou in China, but it has been postponed to 2023 due to rising COVID-19 cases in the country. Right. So it has been decided by the Olympic Council of Asia, which is the governing body of these Asian Games. And they were originally scheduled in September. In September 2022. Next, the World Red Cross Day was celebrated on the 8th of May. It is celebrated 8th of May every year. And World Red Cross Society is, I think, one of the most well-known NGOs in the world. It has won Nobel Peace Prize multiple times. That speaks about the stature of this organization. So why is this day celebrated? To broaden the public's understanding of International Red Cross and Red Crescent movement. So I'm sure you must have seen a red cross on most of the ambulances and most of the health facilities. This Red Crescent societies are affiliated and they work in cooperation with World Red Cross to assist in the activity. So what kind of activities do they actually carry out? Like the medical facilities, free of cost medical facilities to the people in areas which are under conflict or in areas which are seeing civil war kind of situations. So these societies are found in almost every nation worldwide. And this year, the theme of the World Red Cross Day is Be Humankind. Hashtag Be Humankind. Believe in the power of kindness. So it's about kindness. It's about being human. That is what the theme this year is. Next, Hindustan Unilever Limited was India's largest FMCG company till now. But now, Adani Wilmar has overtook HUL as the biggest FMCG company of India. So in the fourth quarter of 2022, the net profits have come out and Adani Wilmar has overtaken HUL. So Adani Wilmar has reported a revenue of 54,000 crore rupees, whereas HUL has reported a revenue of 51,000 crore rupees and thereby leaving behind HUL in the FMCG business. And FMCG is a very fast growing business in India because of its large middle class and aspirational middle class. And this is a great opportunity for these industrialists to grow their business in India. Next, so this Sherpa has, climbed Mount Everest for 26th time. My God, 26th time he has climbed this Mount Everest. And it is, the tallest mountain peak in the world. And last year it was making news for a different reason. So it was believed that the height of the Mount Everest was 8,848 meters. But China and Nepal collectively, again measured the height of Mount Everest and it was found to be 8,848.76 meters. So the last time the height of Mount Everest was measured was in 1950 and at that time it was 8,848 meters precisely. But now after 70 odd years, we have re-measured the height and it is found to be 76 centimeters higher. There could be two reasons behind that. One, that in 1950, correct methodology was not followed or maybe the technique was not that precise to measure the height accurately. The second reason could be that actually the size or the height of the Mount Everest is increasing because the way Himalayas were formed was due to the collision of Indian plate into the Eurasian plate. And that led to folding and faulting and that led to the rise of the Himalayas. And since it's a continuous process, even now the height of the Himalayas is increasing. So 76 centimeters increase in the height of Mount Everest was seen. Anyway, so this Sherpa, Kami Rita Sherpa has earned a world record and he has broken his own world record. So the last time he climbed was the 25th time and this time is the 26th. So he has broken his own previous record. And the route he's used is the same route that was used by Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay in 1953 when they first time climbed the Mount Everest. So the same route he has followed but 26 mind-boggling times. Khelo India Youth Games. So last year due to COVID-19, Khelo India Youth Games could not be held. Last year in April and May 2021, there was a second wave of COVID-19 underway in India. And due to that, most of the major events that year were cancelled. And this year, the same Khelo India Youth Games is going to be held. And the venues are going to be chiefly Panchkula, which is in Haryana, then Chandigarh, which is a neighboring city. Somewhat in Delhi also and some in Shahabad also. So all these cities, but majorly Panchkula and Chandigarh are going to host the Khelo India Youth Games. And the Union Sports Minister, Mr. Anurag Thakur, has launched the mascot of these games, which is Dhakar. So Dhakad is a term used in Haryanvi language, which means resilient. So when something or someone is Dhakad, that means it is resilient, which is also the mascot of these games. He also unveiled the official logo and official jersey of these youth games, which are the fourth edition of the Khelo India Youth Games. So this is organized by the Sports Authority of India, that is SAI, and the state government of Haryana. And more than 8,000 athletes are going to take part in the games. So in a saddening event, Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma, who was one of the most renowned figures in Indian music, has passed away. So Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma was an Indian music composer and santoor player. And he was of age 84 and he died due to cardiac arrest. So basically, the biggest contribution of Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma to the Indian music is the recognition he gave to santoor. So santoor is a musical instrument which originated in Jammu and Kashmir. And it was Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma that, helped santoor get global recognition. So he gave it a classical status and exalted it along with other more traditional and famous instruments like sitar and sarod. So sitar and sarod were already popular across the world. Like sitar, when it comes to sitar, the name that comes to our mind is Pandit Ravi Shankar. So just like Pandit Ravi Shankar was a proponent of sitar and his daughter Anushka Shankar as well, Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma was a proponent of santoor. So santoor is something that he will be always known for. And he received Padma Shri in 1991 and Padma Vibhushan in 2001. So he was a Padma awardee and a proponent of santoor. Next is the new president of South Korea. So the South Korean country has elected Mr. Yoon Suk-yeol as the next president of South Korea. So he was sworn in a huge ceremony, and he has taken office at a time when high tensions are going on with North Korea. But I think it's not a special time to have, it's not unique to have tensions with North Korea. South and North Korea have been, arch rivals, in the last many decades now. And this ceremony was attended by officials, including the officials from US and China. Now, this is a geopolitical thing. So it's not that only his name is important. South Korea is a country whose border with North Korea is known as the world's most militarized border. And North Korea is known as a rogue state. So it does not have good relations with any country in the world except, to some extent with China. So in South Korean president's oath-taking ceremony, the presence of Chinese as well as US officials reflects that South Korea is balancing its foreign policy really well. Because having good relations with both these countries can guarantee security and safety from the North Korea as well as its overall positioning in the world. But South Korea as such is a developed country, and it's a really economically prosperous country because it has democracy, and it is quite the opposite of North Korea. And the official name of South Korea is Republic of Korea. So this is something that you should remember, because in exams sometimes different terminologies are used and sometimes you get confused. So Republic of Korea is the name that is used for South Korea, and on the other hand, Democratic People's Republic of Korea is the name that is used for North Korea, which is quite ironic because unlike the name, North Korea is neither democratic nor People's Republic. It's just Korea, but they call themselves DPRK, Democratic People's Republic of Korea. So what's in a name? Nothing, because actually it's neither a democracy nor a republic. South Korea, on the other hand, is a republic because the head of the state here is elected, like Mr. Yoon Suk-yeol has been elected. Next, Rakhi Gadhi. So in the last news that we're going to cover today is the Indus Valley site of Rakhi Gadhi in the state of Haryana. So this site was discovered, around some 30, 35 years back. And since then, the biggest, discovery of ASI officials or Archaeological Survey of India officials is the jewelry making factory. So the ASI officials, after a lot of research, have found a jewelry making factory in Rakhi Gadhi, which is one of its most significant findings yet. So Rakhi Gadhi is basically a village in Haryana's Hisar district, and it is one of the oldest Indus Valley Civilization archaeological sites. So the finding of a jewelry making factory in Rakhi Gadhi reflects that the people of that time were actually into making jewelry as well. Although different types of beads and different types of jewelry are found at that time, but the jewelry making factory being found at a site reflects or clears a lot of confusion from the minds of archaeologists. And there are so many other sites of Indus Valley, but the most prominent one, which was in news last year as well, was Dholavira, which is in Gujarat. And it was in news because it has been included in the UNESCO World Heritage Site list. So Dholavira, which is in Gujarat, became the 39th site from India to be included in the UNESCO World Heritage Site list. And along with that, the 40th site to be included was the Ramappa Temple of Telangana. So in total, there are 40 sites of India in the UNESCO World Heritage Site list. So this is something also that you should remember. So that was it for this week of May. And for more such updates, stay tuned to the channel, subscribe to the channel, and keep tuned in. This is me, Manish Mittal, signing off. Thank you and take care.